This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. We are happy to be back with you this morning after a week off, a little bit of rest and relaxation, and then a busy weekend. Got to MC the St. Charles County Central Committee Lincoln Trump Dinner on Friday night. Well attended, close to room capacity of nearly 375 people out at Old Hickory. That was fantastic. Got to see a bunch of great people out there. Of course, the candidates for the St. Charles County Executive, some school board candidates in St. Charles County who are going to be running very important races in Francis Howe and Wentzville this year. Be sure you get out and vote in those for sure. And then, of course, Saturday night, the sold-out event at the Factory. 1,700 Patriots out there to listen to Brian Kilmeade. Annie, Mark, and I were fortunate enough to get called up on the stage and got to spend some great time with Brian before and after his show, a little bit during. We had some fun with him, and that was great. My daughter got to sing the national anthem, which was a little proud papa moment. So we played it this morning. Carl had it queued up for us. Thank you, Carl.
I did. Well, that's because her father dutifully recorded it.
Well, of course I did. I was in the audience with my camera up.
She should post that.
It was on Fox Nation. Well, yeah, thank you. If you have Fox Nation, I think you can watch it on demand, I guess.
And we're going to try to get a board feed from Fox Nation.
Yes, too. So the audio is a little more clear than on my iPhone, but thank you for that. Hey, by the way, I mentioned this really early this morning. Some people don't join us starting at 5 a.m., but in the 5 o'clock hour, you can always listen on demand. You can pick up the podcast. I mentioned the fact that I had the opportunity over the course of the past week to drive. I spent a lot of hours behind the windshield between here and Birmingham, Alabama. Went down I-55 through Memphis and down to near Birmingham. My daughter visited the University of Alabama. And I was commenting to Kim and Carl earlier on really, honestly, what a radio wasteland there is out there. If I'm driving somewhere at 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, maybe I understand it. Maybe I understand you're going to find, maybe if you're lucky, some syndicated host somewhere nationwide that is broadcasting a show that is of somewhat interesting. But I was driving in the middle of the day, and I could not hit the search function on my radio and find radio shows that I had any interest in listening to. Right? I don't care about the farm report. I don't care about what new stripes they're putting down the middle of the road in some communities. There was a fair number of religious stations on the air between here and Memphis, but even in Memphis proper, I mean, I'm driving through there in the middle of the day and I'm having trouble finding good local talk shows that you can listen to, that I'm interested in listening to, with good content. There are fewer and fewer of those available across the country, and that is a real shame. And I just pointed out to Kim earlier, and I'm not saying this to toot my horn, I'm saying it to toot the station's horn. We're lucky in St. Louis. You're lucky that we've got three hosts live here every day talking about local, national, statewide issues in Missouri and Illinois. And then, of course, you pick up the Kilmeade Show in the middle of that from 9 to noon, and he's talking about a lot of national issues. I just think we're lucky.
Why do you think that is, that we're seeing that trend? Do you think it's less of a demand, or you think that there is certainly the demand there, but for some reason these communities just aren't doing anything about it?
I think a part of it is it's not inexpensive to put on good quality radio. And a lot of these companies have gotten away from spending salaries for local people. It is cheaper for a lot of these radio companies to get some syndicated program they can throw on there with maybe somebody given the time temperature at the top of the hour. And it's not complicated for them. And they don't care about the content. All they care about is somehow getting a couple of advertisers to agree to spend a few dollars with them so they make a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame. It really is. Now, I'm not saying there's none within a 10-hour drive. Somebody was pointing out some stations I should listen to if I'm driving west to Kansas City or Oklahoma or something like that. I'm sure they're out there. But on my drive, I didn't find any. And what I end up doing is I just use the Odyssey app and listen to 97.1 all day long. And, I mean, that's perfect. You can find anything you want on the Odyssey app. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, I'm going to push 97.1. Sometimes if I'm in a bad area, or depending on what time of day it is, or a weekend, you can also find Fox News Radio programming on there. So.
Well, it's nice, too, because you're getting the mix of news. Like, you're going into work or wherever you're leaving and off to for the day. You're going where you feel like you're more educated. At least that's the hope that I have
right. With
this show, but also entertaining. Like, that it's hard news, but also, you know, you can trust that Mark will make some dad jokes. And I'll give him a hard time about Kentucky.
And we'll cover issues that are important, though. I mean, that's my point. I'm not just drive along and listen to music kind of guy. It just bores me. It just bores me. I don't want to hear somebody give me some piece of trivia about some artist I'm about to listen to in between a 20-second stop break. That bores me. I want content. I'm one of you. That's why I like doing this show. Speaking of which, Carl, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Who did the colonists fight in the Revolutionary War?
Oh, God.
In the Revolutionary War?
I don't know if this is right. I mean, it sounds so stupid. Was it the Spanish?
Wait, what are your majors?
Business. Biology.
Okay. Elementary education.
Yeah, we're doomed. Boy, that Department of Education's done a whole lot the last 45 years, hasn't it? Said no one ever. We're about to get rid of it, it sounds like, or at least condense it to where it can't do any more damage.
I don't think all kids or adults should be graded at the same level. We need to have merit because that is how we progress. Everybody should have the same opportunity.
Thank you, Linda McMahon. It should sort of be like a cage match, shouldn't it? No, seriously, the cream rises to the top.
When his fantasy of becoming president came true, his narcissism developed a pathological dimension.
Imagine George Soros talking to somebody else about being a narcissist. That is the laugh of the day right there. He's out there criticizing Donald Trump, who he spent billions to defeat, and still found his candidate in the dumpster.
Republicans' secret plan for dealing with the Democrats is called Operation Let Them Speak. But that's good for our party, but it's bad for America.
Yep, that's Senator John Kennedy giving us one of his great lines there. You got to love this guy, right? He's like, listen, as long as Bernie Sanders and Jasmine Crockett and AOC want to be the out front spokespeople for the Democratic Party. I'd even throw Chucky Schumer in there into the whole mix. We'll just sit back because that's good for us. He says it's not good for America, but he's right, but it's good for us.
That's how it was with President Biden and Kamala Harris. The more they talked, the more people were concerned, the less confidence people had in them.
It's true. But we're now unburdened by all that.
I do feel unburdened by what has been.
It's true. We are unburdened by it. And we're happy, Senator Kennedy, to let that train keep rolling down the track. Let's just make Jasmine Crockett the conductor, the MICDS graduate who wants you to believe she's from the hood somewhere. Far too often, I'm afraid, for her good. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to Jesse Jane Duff, talk about some of these judge rulings against the Trump administration. What is that all about? Can anything be done about it? Should anything be done about it? We'll get to Jesse Jane coming up here in a few minutes. And Tom Ackerman at the bottom of the hour. The Blues playing some pretty good hockey right now, looking at the playoffs. We'll talk to Tom at about 8:35. Stay tuned.
But something's happening right now, Trey, that I think we all have to acknowledge. You've got a lot of activist judges, probably more than ever. And we were looking at the statistics, and the White House has pointed this out. 62%, for example, of the federal injunctions that have been handed down in the last century were handed down against President Trump. And 92% of those were done by partisan Democrat-appointed judges. So
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
All right. We've got Jesse Jane Duff on the line this morning. Jesse Jane, good morning to you. How are you?
Hey, good morning, motivator. Glad to be here on a happy Monday morning.
Yes, indeed. You know, that was a shocking number to me. When you go back 100 years and consider all the presidents who served over that time, one man has had 62% of all the federal court injunctions filed in 100 years have been against Donald Trump. 62%.
I would also dare to say the reason it also is higher is probably because President Trump has done more and taken aggressive action more than what? Look, Joe Biden, did we expect anything going on him? No. But not only that, he's been very aggressive coming out of the gate, for not only in his first administration, but the second administration. Look at this. I mean, we're seeing things moving at rocket pace, and it's totally throwing the left off guard. They are now, the only thing they can do is just file injunction after injunction. But I do have to agree that, you know, when you have these district judges trying to override the entire presidency, it's almost just like kind of ludicrous. And Justice Roberts has taken very strong fire because this is what he wants to make a public statement about. So this battle is not going to go away. We will see Congress trying to pass legislation, because keep in mind, often when people get upset at the courts, they really need to go back at Congress, because Congress isn't writing laws correctly or not putting laws in place that are actually constitutional. So when you write a law, you've got to make sure that it's going to be court-proof for it to be overthrown. So Congress right now is taking a good, strong look at this.
Well, I don't know if it's – I mean, I think Republicans have to step back and ask themselves – just how far do we want to go with this? Because there may be a time when they feel like they need to go back into the court. Certainly they did that against Biden. I think the biggest difference is, correct me if you think I'm wrong here, the biggest difference is the reason there weren't as many injunctions is that's a bold step for a judge, to override the power of the presidency. In many cases, they might see that there's some merit there and agree and let the case go forward. But to step in and stop whatever action's happening is a big move.
Oh, it is. And I do agree with you. And, you know, it's kind of a back and forth conversation. I don't jump on Twitter and just automatically agree with some of our right wing people that are out there going, impeach, impeach, remove, remove. It's like, to your point, huh, you got to be real careful with that, because the table could be flipped and you now have a Democrat president. And we're just going to throw out all of Trump's appointees. We're going to throw out all of the conservative judges. You know, to Justice Roberts' point, there have been those that have said he shouldn't have come out so aggressively. He should have kept his mouth shut. But on the flip side to that, if it is going to go through its process up to the Supreme Court, you will be able to sustain and keep your measures in place, because President Trump has already said, that's fine, take me to court. Yeah. I've done this before. We could go to court and I lose, and we go to the next court, I lose, and then guess what? We get to the Supreme Court and we win. So I'm confident President Trump was very much prepared for this. Not only that, he will win. I bet you probably 95% of every single case that they're trying to overthrow of his, because he surrounded himself with the best and tightest legal team that knows every angle that the left is going to come at him. He welcomes this, because you know what it does? It proves that the left is crazy to him. So here we go. I think he welcomes this. He's going to go at it hard, and he's going to be able to use that in his campaigning points for congressional leaders to win in 2 years, under 2 years now, and in 2028. They'll say, if you want the left in charge, look what they would have done to us. So it can be actually to his advantage.
What do you think of all these Teslas being burned? Even Elon Musk was coming out and saying, you can't even turn on the TV these days without seeing Teslas burning. And he says what's ironic about it is you're probably burning the Teslas of people who are like you, who are Democrats.
Oh, they're certainly trying to destroy their own base. You know, when you start going after your own people, because I happen to be out in California right now, and I drove by the Arden Way Tesla dealership unknowingly that these people were out there. And I just started to drive very slowly, and I gave them the finger. I have not done that. And probably, I don't even remember the last time that finger ever was seen by anybody. But I couldn't help myself. I was like, no. And I drove slowly, and I was in a 2009 Dodge Journey, my father's old van. Here I am in this vehicle that they probably should have hated because it's probably not the most fuel efficient vehicle. And the slow drive, and they're just cheering along thinking, because you hear people honking and waving, and I thought, these Californians have lost their mind. So let's just save the planet, all go to electric vehicles, but the electric vehicle we don't like, let's burn down the planet. The total contradiction of their messaging. They don't even know what they're doing. They're lunatics, and they're going to tick people off. My sister-in-law, who was an Obama supporter, hardcore leftist, who drives a Tesla, oh my goodness, I really hope her car doesn't get keyed, because you now are attacking the foundation of your base.
It's a fantastic point, and I have to salute you for saluting them, Jesse Jane.
Oh, I did
thank
it
you.
Twice, because I had to come back the other direction after I got to the credit union, and I drove even slower that time. I think they lost their mind. They weren't used to a Californian doing that to them, so here we are.
You got it. We're out of time. We'll talk to you next week.
Take the hill, motivators. Don't do the one-finger salute.
Jesse Jane Duff, jessejduff.com. I love it. Coming up, we're going to get to Tom Ackerman and talk a little bit about the Blues' recent success. We'll be back in just a minute. Great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is anchor man, not anchor lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
All right, Tom Ackerman in studio right now. I had to play that bite from UConn coach Dan Hurley yesterday.
What did he say there?
He was dropping F-bombs and telling the other team, I hope they don't blank you like the refs don't blank you like they blanked us. And I'm thinking to myself, he almost had a little bit of a mental breakdown in his post-game news conference. I mean, he screamed at one of his coaches on the sideline yesterday during the game. And, of course, they only lost by 2 points to Florida. And it kind of ended their attempt to have three championships in a row. And he was not handling it very well.
He also he cried after the game. He said that, it's as proud as he's been of a team because of everything that they faced this year. Not as good of a team, but they dealt with some injuries. They're the back-to-back national champions. It hurts to lose. I mean, it hurts to get knocked out of the tournament. And Dan Hurley, I actually like Dan Hurley's passion. I might not agree with some of the things he blurts out publicly, but, then again, I covered Bob Knight. I mean, there's, the stuff happens when you're passionate about what you do. Hurley is a complicated person. He's dealt with and has been very public about some of his mental health issues that he's gone through.
Huh.
And some of the things he's tried to overcome. He's overcome some depression and back when he was in college, some, alcohol abuse, and he's gone through a lot. So there was a really long, I watched a 2-hour interview with him before I did a UConn game earlier this year on national radio with Grant Bensinger, and a St. Louis guy who does a lot of those in-depth interviews. And it was really eye-opening about Hurley. So, I don't know, maybe I think about Hurley differently than most, where I kind of understand now his backstory. But, he shoots his mouth off a lot. I mean, he had a game today where you could read his lips, and he said, I'm the best bleeping coach in this sport. He was yelling that to an official.
Yeah.
It happens. I mean, it happens. He that's just how he's wired. I mean,
And then he said this near the end of the news conference after saying he needed to work on his ego.
This is what he said.
You should only be ringing stock market bells and throwing out first pitches when you win the major championship. So, you know, I won't have to do things like that. I'll be able to just kind of, you know, focus on the upcoming season.
He was the whole time. He was like rubbing his face, and he just looked like, I mean, he was emotionally through the ringer. I almost felt bad for the guy.
This guy cares. He definitely cares about his players. And about his program. I don't know.
But it's not like he's
going to get
fired.
You know what we got this year?
No, he's fine.
Because other coaches got fired.
You know what we got this year at Kentucky? We got the Tom Ackerman of college coaching. Mark Pope,
love him,
is the most positive coach I've heard from in a long time. And don't say that just as a Kentucky fan. He will bend over backwards in every interview he does to only praise the players and talk about the players in the program, and it's never about him. And I think he's handled that beautifully so far.
Great hire for Kentucky in that, you know, he's a former Wildcat and he understands the fan base and the high expectations, and he has done a marvelous job. I actually thought that Illinois would give him a better game and maybe beat them. It was a pretty good game.
It was a good game.
But Illinois falls short against Kentucky, and Kentucky moves on to the Sweet 16, now plays Tennessee. You can win that. I mean,
we beat him twice this year.
Yeah, you can win that. It's hard to beat
the team three times.
We know that.
Do I remember correctly that you had St. John's going all the way?
I did. I wasn't the only one. I mean, I was blown away by how bad St. John's was in that game. Mm-hmm. And look, all credit to Arkansas and John Calipari, had them ready to go. But, man, St. John's was so lost that R.J. Lewis, their best player, the Big East player of the year, didn't play the last 5 minutes. Pitino didn't play him. Benched him, his best player, because he couldn't make a shot. Now, that's Rick Pitino for you. If you don't play his way, and if he doesn't think that you're in the game, you're gone no matter what your name is.
Yeah.
So he did it, and that's how bad St. John's was. They were a complete disaster in that game against Arkansas. Arkansas now moves on to play Texas Tech in the Sweet 16, and Rick Pitino's run comes to an end, at least for now.
The last time Pitino beat Calipari in the NCAA tournament, Mark Pope was playing for him and hit a couple of the key free throws at the end of the game to defeat, I think it was UMass?
Yeah, Cal owns him, man.
Yeah.
Cal owns him. So Pitino's had a pretty good run back from everything that happened in Louisville to take some time away and then go to Iona and then get the job at St. John's and kind of complain about where St. John's was and to get them back into being a two seed. He's done a really nice job. I thought that they were different than everybody else, and everything that they did in that game went against who they are. Mm-hmm. I mean, they couldn't rebound. They couldn't get a big shot to go down. They couldn't defend like they usually do. And Arkansas, maybe just a different kind of team. You know, Arkansas is finally healthy. A big, long, athletic, can grab rebounds, you know, throw down dunks, and they got it done. They got it done. The best team still standing, that's kind of up in the air. I mean, Florida beat UConn, but had to beat them by two. Auburn is still the number one overall seed. They look pretty good. I think Duke looks really good right now. I mean, all the ones are still in it. But, you know, it's
St. John. So my bracket's been busted for a while. I had Mizzou winning.
Yeah. And, I didn't even fill out a bracket last year. It was much more enjoyable.
Did you do one this year?
I did with my daughter.
All right,
with my daughter.
I did.
I filled it out for her. So St. John's is out. But we did go 37-9 in the first 48 games. That's pretty good.
Nice. That's pretty good.
I think we're pretty good. So I think we're still in decent shape, although a couple of my Final Four teams have been bounced.
Yeah. A lot of people, for that matter. Yeah. Let's talk about Blues for just a minute.
Man, they look amazing.
They do, don't
they?
They
look amazing.
Winning streak.
Are we seeing a resurgence of 2019? Is this the same situation happening again? A new coach? The team is playing great. Young players are playing great. The veterans are playing great. This Blues team looks unbelievable. They've won six in a row. Since the Four Nations face-off, they're 12-2-2. They have not only a four-point lead for the second wild card, they're 4 points out of the top wild card. They could easily chase down Minnesota at this point and put themselves in a great position. I think it's very exciting. And why is this happening? Because of Jim Montgomery. He is a fantastic coach who has gotten them to play a hard offensive game. All four of their lines play extremely tough on offense, and they don't allow you much breathing room. And I think they're a special group. I think Joel Hofer is a great backup to Jordan Binnington. I think that Justin Falk, although he's made a couple of bad plays, overall has been great with Colton Parayko hurt. If Parayko comes back and is what he was, This team will be tough to knock off. Momentum's an amazing thing. Confidence is an amazing thing in sports, and especially hockey. And I'm super excited about this team right now. I am all in on the Blues right now.
And Carl Middleman gets a bird's eye view for every game?
Every game.
Home game.
Yeah.
Game tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
How are we feeling about Thursday? So they're playing the Twins, right? And I know people going into the season, I feel like their expectations are not very high for the Cardinals. So anything beyond what was last season, I feel like you could chalk it up to a win.
The Cardinals fans are the best. And no offense to anybody else, but the Cardinals fans have been around for a long time, and they are very smart, and they can see it a mile away. And they didn't think that the communication was good about what they're trying to do with this team. They thought that this quote-unquote reset should have happened earlier, and that the Cardinals should have gotten younger and should have been more aggressive with it a while ago.
Right.
That said, the Cardinals did make a significant move yesterday when they named Victor Scott II their center fielder. Victor is very exciting. He's the best. Thank you. He was the best player in spring training this past several weeks in Jupiter. He was awesome. Great power, great speed. He's fun. He's exciting, and it will put some energy into the team, and I think that's a move they had to make. Victor was not only the people's choice at center field, but secretly behind the scenes, that's the Cardinals really wanted this to happen. They liked what Victor could do, and they were going to wait till the very end to make sure that he was the guy, that he stayed healthy so they could make this announcement. I understand Cardinals fans and why they're upset. The Cardinals are an 11-time world champion. We're not talking about the Seattle Mariners here. Like, we're talking about the Cardinals have won 11 World Series. They are National League royalty, and fans are tired of it. I mean, they're tired of sitting there watching them finish in third and fourth place. They want them to be great. It's going to be tough because I don't see a team right now that's going to go to the World Series. But I see a team in 2 or 3 years, if they can continue to develop young players, is going to be dynamite under Hein Bloom. It's just that they stepped on their own feet here trying to get this thing back, and now they're in like no man's land.
Yeah.
They have a team that's good but not great. They have a young team that's developing but not really the runway that they wanted to give all the guys because they didn't trade Arenado. They're sort of caught in between, which is a bad place to be in baseball. You really want to be either going for it all the way or retooling your development system. They're sort of in the middle. That said, I do think there's an entertainment aspect to this game. I think it's going to be a good season for them. Not great. Maybe they surprise me and some guys just catch fire. If they stay healthy, anything can happen. I think that it's, a bunch of hungry players, though. Being around the players, I can tell you that they're not listening to any of that.
Good.
They all want to be great. So
sure they do.
We'll see how it all turns out.
Well, good deal. And we'll talk to you opening day morning, I guess, right?
I will Thursday be there morning? Opening day morning. I'm going to be not on with you. I will be doing a breakfast with Vince Coleman from 8 to 10:30. So, I'll join you before that.
Okay.
What will be 6:35 on Thursday?
We can make that work.
Yes. Man, what a great time here. I mean, I just love coming in here talking sports. There's so, can we just keep going? I mean, you got hoops. What do we talk about? Hockey, baseball. It is the best time of year for sports. I think March is the best month.
I think you're
question.
Right.
Yeah. I'm fired up.
City That's allowed good. Their first goal.
They did. They did, Carl. Carl, I'm gonna end this on a positive.
Good.
City has a backup goalkeeper in Ben Lunt, who is playing out of his mind right now. So with Roman Berkey injured, at least they have a guy who is saving them from, any sort of problems. They just need to figure out how to score some goals. But, man, Berkey's backup, Lunt, is really good. So they've discovered something here through an injury. And they get to play in their home stadium this Sunday, and it'll be rocking and all that stuff. Everybody will forget about the loss to Philadelphia, who was to their former coach, by the way, Bradley right. Carnell.
Oh,
stuck right. it to him.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's good.
All thank right. You, anyway,
appreciate it, brother.
Enjoy breakfast on Thursday.
Thank you. And cocktails and all that good stuff with Vince Coleman. We'll tell some stories. Oh, yeah. We'll be. It's opening day. Is there anything better than a ball game? I mean, really.
And we should
it
have
ought to
nice
be fun.
Weather,
It'll
right?
be fun to see them even if.
Well,
I know storms later, but I thought that maybe.
We're hoping we can dodge
we can
that.
Through.
Yeah, the weather's going to be awesome today, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Friday. Mm-hmm. Thursday, I saw a little rain in there. We'll see.
We'll see. We'll be positive. All
That's
right,
why
Tom.
They have the backup day on Friday, just in case.
Just in case.
You know what? Good point.
Thank you. Positive,
it's gonna
Tom.
Be, yeah, love that. And it's going to be 80 degrees and sunny on Friday.
Nice.
All right.
Nice.
See
Thanks,
you, Tom.
Tom.
Thank you.
Yep.
Go Hoosiers.
What? You just had to get that in, did you?
All right, bye, everybody.
It's like what Mark would do.
He meant
for
to
his
say go Cats.
Kentucky
I think,
Wildcats.
No, he did not. It's muffled there.
Go Mizzou Tigers.
All right, we'll be back in just a minute. Stay tuned. Great way to bring us back into the show here, Carl. 46 years ago, that album dropped.
Yesterday.
Van Halen 2.
Yes.
46 years ago, yesterday. Wow.
This might be my favorite Van Halen song.
Oh, it is a great song. It would be up there. I like some of the harder rock ones a little more, but it's up there. It's on the top 10 anyway. Kim, I got an interesting text here from my friend Rich, who was listening to Kim on a Whim earlier, regarding, you brought right at the end, you brought up whether or not somebody to do a DNA test on their dog.
Yeah.
And I kind of laughed at that and said, why the hell would you waste that kind of money on a dog?
And your friend
They're
said, I did that.
Mutts, right? My friend says, we've done DNA on our dogs, plural. Here's why. He said, if you live in a community with a breed-specific law, like some communities won't let you own pit bulls, you need to know. Health issues. Some breeds are prone to certain maladies. German Shepherds, hip dysplasia, boxers, epilepsy. Sometimes those health issues will manifest in mixed breeds. And inquiring minds, he said, their first rescue was 100% American Staffordshire. Their current pup is an American Staffordshire boxer and lab, so he's got a little bit of everything in him. And they wanted to know. So
those are all really valid reasons, but something tells me the majority of people who are paying to do these DNA tests on their dog, it's because they're just curious. They adopted the dog. They have no idea the breed of the dog. They were just told, it's a mutt. I don't know. Could be... mix of
it
this
looks
or
like
mix
a pit
that.
Bull. Somebody said to him, it looks like a pit bull. So they went out and got it tested just to make sure that it's not.
Well, people are writing in a lot of different things like Embark, Base Paws, Wisdom Panel. I hadn't heard of any of them. I just knew that they existed.
Oh, these are the names of
the different
companies
tests you
that,
can do.
That do it?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I've just never considered it, to be honest with you. I didn't even know.
Well, I think Summers deserves that. She should know where she came from.
Summers doesn't know where she is right now, let alone where she came from. Sweetest dog we've had. Love her. She's as sweet as any dog we've had. Not the smartest tool in the shed. So she doesn't know where she is. She just knows whether or not her mother is at home. That's all she cares about.
And where her next treat's coming from.
When her mother's not there, she lays by the door, and then she waits for her mother to come home. I can have a hard time coaxing her to come in and just sit with me. Like your other human is here. Why won't you sit with me?
See,
all she
someone
wants
wrote.
Is her mom.
Someone wrote on YouTube. Everyone wants to know who their dad is. Dogs deserve to know too.
No, that's funny. Hey, by the way, before we run, I ran across this story out of Indianapolis. So this weekend, somebody went into a jazz bar in Indianapolis, and got run out because they were wearing a MAGA hat. Now, I'll let you listen to the audio here real quick, and you can kind of hear the interaction. Just so you know, the person behind the bar, it sounds like a dude, but it has, it looks, I guess he looks like a woman. Maybe cross-dressing, I don't know what was going on there. Picked up a baseball bat and threatened to hit the person with the MAGA hat. Listen.
Why? Why? Why?
Because you're a Trump supporter.
I know, but don't you guys want our money?
No, actually, we don't. Get out of my bar right now.
You're not welcome.
I'm not f***ing around. Get out of my bar.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Out.
This is when he picks up the bat.
That's wild.
I don't care. Get out.
I looked this up, and it is the if you're ever in Indianapolis, don't go here. It's called the Chatterbox
Jazz Bar in Indianapolis. Apparently, there's a couple of these around the country, and somebody was very specific saying this is the one in Indianapolis, Indiana.
I assume we're not missing any context there, that there wasn't some sort of an altercation, and it was
because
I heard them say it's because you're wearing a MAGA hat.
The woman walked in, had a MAGA hat on. They told her to leave. She left, and then she came back in with her camera rolling and said, "I have a question." And that's when you heard that interchange.
They didn't want her money. We would never do that. We would never kick someone out because they voted for Kamala Harris.
Because they had a Biden hat on?
But they do that for us.
I know.
Double standard.
I know. Just wanted to let you hear that before we took off for the day. All right, stand by. The Brian Kilmeade Show is going to be up next. You can hear the interview we did with him earlier on demand there on our podcast. Have a great day. Annie and Mark along later this afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow morning.